This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Oh, it feels so good to be back. We're going to get to the destruction being intentional between Bernie Sanders and Mayorkas.
Our approach to managing the borders securely and humanely, even within our fundamentally broken immigration system, is working.
Oh, yeah. We're going to break that down here in just a little bit, but I have a couple things I need to do first. One of them is a personal story, but the first one is this. Jesse, I write this with a heavy heart. The subject of this one is called Taps for My Boy. My son, Holden Meade, Petty Officer 2nd Class, U.S. Navy, died at the age of 22 in a motorcycle accident on June 25th outside Seattle. You would have liked him. He was bold, brave, and adventurous. His sense of humor and positive attitude were a lot like yours. He had just earned his Submariner Dolphins and loved the Navy. He was the kind of young man our military needs right now. I encouraged him to listen to your show, knowing he would be a fan too. Anyway, I would be grateful if your audience could hear Taps in his honor. Sincerely, Phil Meade. And it's an honor to play Taps for your boy. I am sorry, and yeah. Rest in peace, brother. All right. Ichiban Shogun. At your book signing in Salt Lake, I asked you if you'd climbed Mount Fuji. You said that your unit started a fire there. I would love to hear that sea story. You gave my son an AC pin at the signing. He's proudly wearing it and telling all his friends about you and what the pin means. Thanks for making his experience meeting you unforgettable. Semper Fi. All right. So Mount Fuji is this really, really, really cool mountain in Japan. Now, just hang on a second. I'll get back to the politics in a minute. Let me tell the story. When you're in the Marines, you will do deployments, not necessarily combat deployments. Long before Iraq, Afghanistan kicked off, you would do deployments. Every 2 years, you would deploy for 6 months. That's how it worked when I was in. And sometimes you're on a boat floating around, visiting different places, chasing around Australian chicks and stuff. Sometimes you just fly straight to a place like Okinawa and you're there for 6 months. Well, that's what my unit did. We went to Okinawa, you're stationed there for 6 months, and then from there you branch out, you go do various trainings in different places, Thailand and whatnot. At one point in time, we went kind of more mainland Japan. We left Okinawa, went to the main area of Japan, closer to Tokyo, and we did a bunch of training, some training with the Japanese troops in Mount Fuji. I believe it was National Park. I think it's called Mount Fuji National Park, if I remember right. Mount Fuji National Park. And this is how it always works in the Marines. I can't speak for the other branches, but from what I understand, it works pretty much the same way there too. When you start training at something, you'll train on this part of it, and then that part of it. And then at the end of that something, the end of that training cycle, you'll do this big culmination thing where you combine all the skills you learn for one final thing, right? They work that way in boot camp. In boot camp, 3 months, they beat you to death. And then at the end of it, they had something called the crucible where you had to pretty much kill yourself for a few days. And then at the end of it, you got to be a Marine if you didn't die. And this is what we did in Mount Fuji in this national park area. And a lot of what we were doing was land navigation, right? Land navigation. Now, everybody, a bunch of people are going to automatically know what that is. For the civilian types or people who've never done it, let me explain. There's a topographical, you've seen topographical maps. Right? They have all kinds of different lines on them, round lines. And you can tell you're looking at a map that's showing you elevations and mountains and things. And in the Marines, they'll teach you how to get from point A on the map to point B, wherever you want to go. And this is difficult. I don't know if difficult is the way to put it. This takes practice. It takes a lot of practice, and it can be very, very difficult. One thing that you don't realize historically is how often people, whole armies, get lost. Experienced people simply get lost. They don't end up where they wanted to go. Either they didn't have accurate maps or they went the wrong direction. You don't automatically get from point A to point B. Sometimes you get lost. There are stories historically of armies going to sack a city or lay siege to a city and not being able to find it. They kind of got screwed up and disoriented and they went past it and had to turn around. It happens. These things happen. Anyway, so they teach you how to land nav was part of this whole thing. And as part of our culmination exercise in the Mount Fuji area, we had to do this awful, awful land nav thing where, the terrain is very, very rough. It's not just that it's hilly terrain. They had these huge ditches, like 30, 40 foot deep with steep declines. Do you know how exhausting it is when you're trekking across an area and you have to go down into a ditch and then practically climb up the wall out the other side? It's just exhausting. And they had this final exercise where you had to go from point A to point B and then point B to point C and point C to point D. And you had to collect certain things at the various points to show that you had found every point. Only you get lost. It's just inevitable. You're going to miss some. Then you have to figure out how you got lost and retrace your... It's a long way of saying it was brutal. And we didn't have enough food. We didn't have enough water. And it was cold, which is fine for a while you're moving. But you have to eventually stop. You have to rest. You have to figure out where you are. You have to reorientate yourself. And what you don't want when you're land navving, what you really, 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 really don't want is for it to get dark. Because surprise, surprise, this is more difficult when it's not light outside. When you don't have land things you can aim at, it gets dark. It's been a long day. We still have a long way to go. They separated us out into smaller groups. I forget how big the groups were. I want to say 15, 20-man groups, I would say. And it starts to get dark and it starts to get cold. Really, 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 really cold. Now, this is a good time that I should note. We were specifically ordered to not start a fire. It was illegal. I'm sure it still is illegal to start a fire in this area. So there's illegal and then there's illegal, meaning it's only illegal if you get caught. Remember that, kids. No, I'm kidding. Don't do anything illegal. But we ended up stumbling into a clearing and running into several other groups who stumbled into the same clearing at about the exact same time. All of us looking for the exact same spot and all of us missing it. We had no clue where it was and we were so exhausted, we just needed to take some time. And so someone suggested we build a fire. And somebody, this would be the Chris of the group, said, "No, that's illegal." And then he was quickly shouted down and shot down. And we said, "No, actually a fire sounds like a great idea." And before long, we had a fire that was of a good size, I should say. It was more of a bonfire, really. A fire where the flames were most definitely above my head. And we are very fortunate we did not start a forest fire in Mount Fuji National Park. But man, was it warm for quite a while. All right, enough. Let's move on. You hear this idiot from Tennessee, Cohen?
I read Ms. Scanlon's testimony. I wasn't here to hear it. And I think Penn didn't deal with your situation like they could have and should have in putting up.
Should be noted, this is he's talking about girls who don't want to change in locker room with men pretending they're dudes.
I read Ms. Scanlon's testimony. I wasn't here to hear it. And I think Penn didn't deal with your situation like they could have and should have in putting up some type of different barriers in the women's area of the locker room. But that's another issue.
Barriers in the women's area? Barriers that separate the women from the men? This is genius. I don't know why nobody thought of this before. No, think about this. Think about this. Think long and hard about it. You have the women, they're changing, and they don't want to change around dudes. So in order to keep them safe from changing around dudes, they can put up a barrier in between them. And look, we're just trying to be forward thinking here. Let's just think about this. We could call it a wall. That's what we could do. In fact, let's game this out. We might even make a completely separate area for the women and the men, have a wall, we'll call it a wall in between them, and then each area, you know what we'll do? You know what we'll call it? That's a room. So there'll be a women's room, and then there will be a men's room, and separating them will be a wall. Look, we're a forward-thinking show around here. We're a forward-thinking show. All right, let's address the border. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. The destruction is intentional, and we're going to get to that pretty much right now. Just reminding you first that tomorrow it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Alejandro Mayorkas is getting ready to be impeached. They're going to impeach this guy. You can tell by the language Republicans are using, trying to act like they're back. Of course, they have to hem and haw about it. This is what Republicans do. Well, I guess we have no choice. We're going to have to impeach him. The communists will just simply go out and announce, I'm going to impeach him because he's a scumbag and I hate him. Republicans have to hand-wring about it. And with a heavy heart, I have to impeach him. But anyway, be that as it may, they're going to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas. They are. But setting that aside, there's so much said in this brief little, I think it's like an 8-second clip. Listen to Alejandro Mayorkas.
Our approach to managing the borders securely and humanely, even within our fundamentally broken immigration system, is working.
Let's deal with the first part of this. Our approach to dealing with it securely and humanely.
Our approach to managing the borders securely and humanely, even within our fundamentally broken immigration system, is working.
Managing the borders securely and humanely. We've covered this before, but let's cover it again here. Immigration. It's another one of those things that can get uncomfortable for good people like you. I'm a bad person, so it's not uncomfortable for me, but for a good person like you, it can get uncomfortable because whenever you're telling people you're not welcome, whenever you get exclusive about something, it can make nice, decent people feel uncomfortable. No, you're not allowed in this house. No, you're not allowed in this club I'm involved in. No, you're not allowed in here. No, the answer is no, you're not welcome. You're not allowed. But that's immigration. And that's border security. The truth is, the kindest, nicest border policy you can possibly have is one that sounds horrific and harsh. There's no such thing as a, quote, humane border policy that is anything but an open border policy. It's just true. As soon as I tell illegal immigrants from all over the world, remember, we're not dealing with just people from Central and South America here in Mexico, all over the planet, Chinese, everywhere, they're all coming. As soon as I announce to them that I plan on treating them humanely, I'm inviting them into my home. It would be like me coming on the radio and announcing, hey, all of you cat burglars out there, all you know what? All you home invaders out there, you break into homes and you steal people's things. I want you to know, me, Jesse Kelly, if you break into my home, I am going to treat you humanely. What did I just do? Did I just do something nice? Or did I just invite violence and calamity on my family? Well, you know what I just did. I just invited violence and calamity on my family. Because all these pieces of trash hear that and they think, well, I think I'll go visit the Kelly home where I'll be treated humanely. I'm not going to treat you humanely if you break into my home. If you break into my home, I'm going to kill you. I am. I probably won't even warn you first. I'll just kill you. And I'll call the cops, come pick up your body. Sorry, that's the way it is. That's border policy. No, I don't think we should be gunning down people who run to the border. But people who get to the border should be turned away at the border. Not processed first. Not, well, let's give you 6 months and then give you a trial date before we deport you. You should be turned around at gunpoint and sent backpacking from whence you came. I don't even think you should be given a bottle of water. Turn around. Leave. Well, can I have something to drink? I'm sure you'll find a river somewhere. Goodbye. Nope. See ya. Does that sound harsh? Probably. Normie Norm would be horrified by that. But how many times do you have to do that before people stop coming? Because that's the goal, is for people to stop coming. Stop coming into my country when you're not welcome here. Stop watering down my culture. Stop abusing people on the way. The largest human trafficking, the largest slave trade in the world today takes place on America's southern border. Did you know that? Did you know that slavery is alive and well? I saw a video today. I really wish I hadn't seen it, but kids locked in cages. Cops broke in someplace. Immigrant kids locked up in cages like dogs in a house in America. The largest slave trade today, slavery's alive and well, always has been, always will be. The largest slave trade takes place across the southern border, and it takes place because of our, quote, humane
policy. Our approach to managing the borders securely and humanely, even within our fundamentally broken immigration system, is working.
Now, the problem is not necessarily people like Mayorkas. Don't get me wrong, Mayorkas is a big problem. But you already understand the deal. Mayorkas is a communist who hates America. The policy of America's communists is to flood the country with illegal immigrants in order to destroy it. That's why they want the border open. It's not that they're nice. It's not that they're humane. It's not that they're tolerant. It's not that they care about any of the illegals. They want to destroy the country. This goes clear back to a Cloward-Piven strategy of overwhelming the system to destroy the system. The problem is, how many Republicans in this country, state and federal, have the guts to say what I just said about illegal immigration? Is there one? Is there even one? We don't have people who speak clearly anymore, and that's an issue. All right, speaking of the destruction being intentional, we'll get to Bernie Sanders. Let's get to some emails, the Air Force heading to Europe. Let's get to something else first. You have $5,000? No, hold on. I'm not borrowing money. Hang on. Hear me out. We talk about preborn all the time, and we always will talk about preborn. And you know already, $28 buys that scared young woman an ultrasound. That's what it costs. $28 buys her an ultrasound.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
She's going to have an abortion. She gets an ultrasound. She then chooses life. It happens almost every single time. You get that woman an ultrasound, you've saved a life. Maybe you're doing well. If so, God bless you. Maybe you're doing well and want to do something to give back. $5,000 to preborn, tax deductible, I should point out. It funds the entire network for 24 hours. 200 babies. 200 babies. Think about it. Then go to preborn.com/Jesse and give. Preborn.com/Jesse, whether it's 28 bucks or 5 grand, go give, all right? Sponsored by Preborn.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Big, big plans out of the Biden administration.
For example, we should, in the international effort, we've got a commitment to, you know, plant 1 billion trees over the next several years worldwide. I mean, there's a reason why. Anyway, you guys get it.
And but anyways, he always does that. I just got what has to be a loaded text from the wife. So here's what happened. Women are so over the top sometimes. You know, I've been missing food. I've been in Israel for 10 days. I've been missing American food. So I've eaten everything under the sun for the last 24 hours. I wake up this morning, and what do? I go out to my Blackstone griddle, and I start throwing bacon on there and eggs on there and everything else. I get done with everything. And when you're done with that, I have two things that are dirty for when you're done with that. I have the spatula I used. And then I have the scraper. It comes with a scraper so you can scrape off the chunkies, right? Well, remember, the scrapers scrape off the chunkies. So I bring in my two spatulas. Well, my one spatula. And I wash the spatula good. Set it down to dry. This is right before I came into work. And then the scraper, I just kind of sprayed it off. And set it down. It's just a scraper. I just got a text with a picture of the dirty scraper, and she says, "You didn't wash this yet, right?" To which I informed her, "No, I didn't wash it. It's just a scraper. I don't know why I would wash the scraper. What difference does it make? Chris, am I wrong?" No, thank you. I'm right. She's wrong. Get to some emails. Dear Deadpool of conservative talk radio, and I mean that with the utmost respect, seems the mainstream media Democrats are starting to eat their own, a.k.a. Joe Biden and Harris. I don't think they want him or her to run again and scrambling to enter new moves into their 2024 election playbook. What if at the last minute they toss Michelle Obama's hat into the ring? That's my concern. Don't be concerned about Michelle. She doesn't have the campaign infrastructure to run. Be concerned about Gavin Newsom. Be concerned about Gavin Newsom. Trust me on that. He wants to run. He's prepped to run. By the way, Chris, do you have that Rand Paul bit? We might as well go ahead and get this over with. Rand Paul, he went on TV and he was asked about impeachment. This is going to be different and difficult because I wish we had 100 Rand Pauls in the Senate. Rand Paul's an excellent senator. I don't know that I want him to be president, but he's an excellent senator. Right? He goes on television and he says this.
It's not good for the Republic to keep impeaching presidents and indicting presidents. Yeah. All this stuff is destructive. The other side says, oh, they're for preserving democracy. They're pitting everyone against each other, and they're destroying the fabric of our republic. So I think we have to be careful not to fall into the same trap. It's not good.
Listen, I'm not going to kill Rand Paul for what he just said the way I would kill a lot, virtually all the other GOPers, not all of them, but most of them. And here's why. I'm going to get to what he just said in a moment. Here's why. Nobody's perfect. All right. With the exception of me, nobody's perfect. Rand Paul is there for us on issue after issue after issue. from COVID lockdowns to Fauci stuff, government spending. Rand Paul is on the money for us on issue after issue after issue. So if he goes on television and spouts off and says something really, really, really dumb and awful, we don't automatically toss Rand Paul out to the wolves. We need a lot more Rand Pauls than we have. That's the truth. A lot more Rand Pauls. So I'm not going to murder him. That's it. For Republicans in general who think like this, you're not going to return normalcy to America, to this America, because you're dealing with communists. These people are communists. These people are communists. These people are communists. Get it through your thick skull. You acting normally will not return normalcy. That's not how it works. These people are trying to burn it all to the ground. They're trying to burn you to the ground. And Rand Paul, who's been physically assaulted by these people, I would think would understand this mentality as well as everybody. You cannot live and let live your way out of communism, and you cannot return normalcy to a late stage republic that is this broken and this corrupt by acting like everything's fine and by just deciding you're not going to do what they do. Communists only understand fear and pain. That's all they understand. All they understand is that because they're religious zealots. You can't normal your way out of it. Well, sure, you slapped me in the face, but I don't think we should be slapping each other in the face, so I'm not going to slap you back. You're going to get slapped a lot now. The only thing they understand is fear and pain. Joe Biden should have been impeached twice already. Why? Oh, not because of all of his crimes. I mean, yeah, go ahead and impeach him for that. That's fine. Joe Biden should have been impeached twice already. Just so they know, if you impeach our guy over nothing, we'll impeach your guy over nothing. If you'd like that to stop, then just let us know and we'll declare a truce and we'll stop impeaching each other. But there's not a single Democrat in the House or the Senate who is going to hear Rand Paul get up and say that and then go home and say, oh, dang, man, you know, ugh, I was going to impeach the next Republican president. I was going to impeach him over nothing. But man, look at Rand Paul's example. He has inspired me to be beyond that. I'm above that now. No more sham impeachments for me. I have seen the light because of Rand Paul's good character, and I am no longer going to participate in any of these sham impeachments. Not one communist thought that when they heard Rand Paul say those words. Republicans, I know it's uncomfortable. Really, everybody, not just elected Republicans, everybody. I know it's uncomfortable. These are uncomfortable times. When you're dealing with a virus like communism, you have to do uncomfortable things to get rid of it. I don't want that. You don't want that. I don't want to live in a country where every president gets impeached. I don't. You don't. Too bad. That's the country we've been given. This is the time we've been given. I don't know about you, but look, I even just got back from the Holy Land, and I can't remember one time, man. Yeah, not even one time do I remember God Almighty coming down and saying, hey, Jesse, is this the time you want to live in? Are you sure you're happy with this time? Because I'll look, Jesse, I'm the God of the universe. I'll move you to a different time if you're not comfortable with this. So is this okay with you? Now, maybe Chris, Michael, did that happen to you? Didn't God ask either of you, huh? Well, that's funny. He didn't ask me either. This is the time we've been given. These are the enemies we've been given. This is the late stage republic we've been given. We have to live in the world we've been given, not the world we want. When you say things like, well, we just have to stop doing this all the time. It's bad for the Republic. It makes me think you live in a world of make-believe. And it makes me think you get to choose the time you've been given. But you don't. You don't. You don't have a choice at all. We're going to have to do things that make us uncomfortable. One of those things is impeaching Joe Biden again and again and again and again. Impeach him 10 times. Just keep impeaching him. This must be done now because that's how you have to deal with religious zealots. If you don't think you have the stomach for that, maybe some chalk? Maybe a male vitality stack from chalk? Hey, look, I'm just being honest here. Maybe your T levels aren't what they should be. Maybe you need a 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. Just spitballing here. Naturally, by the way. Oh, I know there's a new low T clinic on every other corner in this country. Stop getting things injected in your friggin' arms. Natural herbal supplements. Natural herbal supplements. Stop putting crap in your body. Go to chalk.com, C-H-O-Q, and look at all their endless natural herbal supplements. And get a male vitality stack, fellas. Male vitality stack. I take one every day. Ladies, get a female vitality stack. Let's be strong. Let's be strong enough and focused enough to be aware of the Republic we've been given, all right? Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off everything on the site for the lifetime of the subscription. So get a subscription. Don't pay full price. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse. All right. That's enough, Rand Paul. Let's get to some emails. And Bernie Sanders. Hang on.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. No, I like Billy Joel, Chris. I like Billy Joel. I like Billy Joel a lot. I've been to a Billy Joel concert. I'm what, Chris? No, it was a good concert. He's the piano man. Getting older. It's definitely getting older, but it's a lot better than the Lionel Richie concert we went to. Oh, I didn't tell you about that? Oh. So, Lionel Richie. Obviously, everyone knows who Lionel Richie is. They announced that he was coming to do a concert here in Houston. Now, it's obviously a bit past his heyday. So he wasn't at a major venue, to put it mildly. One of the really minor venues, I'll say. I know this is terrible. I shouldn't even say this, but one of the minor venues. Well, the wife and I love concerts. Just concerts are a blast. I love them. We heard he's coming to town, and tickets were cheap. Surprise, surprise. But the tickets were super cheap, so we go get a couple Lionel Richie concert tickets, and we went to go see some Lionel Richie, and. I'm not big on qualifiers because I'm so rude. He seems like a really good dude. And he had a couple nice jams back in the day. It's not like I'm a Lionel Richie super fan or something, but he had a couple songs I knew. And I thought, so Chris just said, did he play the hits? Well, that's kind of what I'm getting at, Chris. Did he play the hits? You know who, I'll put it to you this way. You know who Michael Jordan is? I want you to imagine that you showed up to watch Michael Jordan play a basketball game, just a pickup basketball game, and instead of playing the whole game, he kind of just stayed down on offense. He wouldn't run back and play any defense. And when they threw him the ball, he couldn't really drive to the basket anymore, so he just kind of stood in one place and just shot a jump shot every time they threw him the ball. Now, it was sold to you as showing up to watch Michael Jackson play basketball, but he didn't really, or Michael Jordan play basketball, but he didn't really play basketball. Lionel, maybe he had the flu. I suspect he's just getting up there in years. He didn't necessarily do it all. He kind of just let the band play a lot. He did a bit of what I would call attempted dancing, but that didn't go well. And look, this is for me. This is for me. That didn't go well at all either. I'm not telling you not to go see a Lionel Richie concert. Again, he really did seem like a good dude. But he gave as many speeches in between the songs as he did actually singing, and you could tell it was just kind of because he was gassed a little bit. Gosh. Bernie Sanders' minimum wage job bill or minimum wage bill would kill 1.7 million jobs and decimate the restaurant industry. That's from Free Beacon. I'm not going to spend any time on this. I just want to let you know, just want to remind you. This is where the right often fails to understand the mentality of the communist. Bernie Sanders will propose some insane $17 an hour minimum wage thing. And the right will often, they'll do printouts and charts and graphs. And we'll hold up these printouts and we'll say, what? No, I actually did the calculations and it would cost 1.7 million jobs and it'll destroy this industry and that industry. And we'll hold it up in front of the communists. You know, your liberal Aunt Peggy, when she shows up at Thanksgiving, she says, you know what we need? $17 of minimum wage. You're tempted to pull out facts that show liberal Aunt Peggy how wrong she is. No, Aunt Peggy, what do you mean? No, look, I did all the charts. You see, look at these charts and graphs. It'll destroy this. She knows. Destruction's the point. Bernie Sanders is an old communist. Bernie Sanders honeymooned in the communist Soviet Union. Bernie Sanders is very, very, very aware of all the destruction that would come from a bill like this. That's why he's doing it. And that's so hard, again, for nice people, for normal people to accept. To accept that there are people out there that are that evil that they're trying to destroy the things we love is so difficult for us. It's difficult for us. We want to think they're misguided or confused. Hey, maybe he's a little naive. Bernie just doesn't know. Hold on. Let me grab my charts. No, he knows. This Scanlon, this representative chick, when she's talking about chopping the penises off of young boys and the breasts off of young girls, only she calls it gender-affirming care. She knows how devastating it is. She knows. That's the point.
Access to gender-affirming care is essential to the mental health and well-being of trans youth. This care is tailored to both the mental and physical health needs of patients, as well as their developmental stage in life.
And this is where we will oftentimes fail on the right, and we'll pull up all the numbers that show how these kids, they change their minds later on and how they're being abused by their parents and psychiatrists and how their bodies are mutilated beyond repair. And we even pull up pictures. Gosh, if you've ever made the horrible mistake of looking up pictures of these surgeries, don't do that. I'm not kidding. Don't let this be one of those things where I piqued your curiosity. Don't look. You don't want to know. Anyway, we want to pull up pictures and show, hey, no, Scanlon, haven't you seen that? Look how mutilated this kid is. Or, hey, no, haven't you seen the numbers that these kids, that they're destroyed for life? Don't you know? You don't know. No, she knows. She's well aware. The destruction is the point. The destruction is intentional. And decent people, they have always, historically, have always struggled to understand the motivations of evil people. They've always struggled to understand how, why are you doing this? Are you just lost? Are you a little confused? Maybe you don't get it. No, they do get it. You don't get them. That's the problem. That's the difference. You want to hear something heartbreaking? I'm going to play it for you. It's a little long when we get back. Speaking of this stuff, you want to hear something really heartbreaking? Hang on.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco. Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.